We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I still can't believe that block. That was ridiculous.
Can he punch it? Bam says, get it out of here!
That was nuts. That was one of the greatest blocks, unfortunately, I've ever seen in my life.
That seals the game for us.
Dale Arnold.
But gotta give the Celtics credit for that big fourth quarter lead away.
We'll go back and look at different ways that we can attack better at the end of the game.
Kemba Walker with a weird game. Big shots. Some terrible possessions.
Rich Keefe.
Brutal, tough, frustrating first loss. They had that one, and you blow it.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Bam Adebayo with the block of the year, block of the decade. Maybe the greatest block in the history of basketball.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us. What I did last night as I watched the end of the Celtics game, I grabbed my iPad and I stuck it in front of me and I opened up Twitter and I waited for the Rich Keefe rant. And I'll say this, it doesn't take long.
No, I record them pretty quick. The old post-game show on the Twitter, and just the first things. First of all, the Bam Adebayo block, you have to give him credit. That was unbelievable. Jason Tatum actually took it to the basket there, and just the angle, it had to be perfect. He didn't foul him. He somehow didn't get his hand stuck in the rim, on the rim, through the rim, or whatever. It was the perfect block. I have not seen a defensive play like that maybe in my entire life.
And you couldn't even try to pretend that there was a foul on the play. It was
nothing.
So perfectly done.
Like, perfect block. Met him at the rim. And it was one of those things where Tatum went up, and he was actually kind of going down with it. Like, he was about to throw it down, and Bam just met him there at the top. But what also really stands out besides that is just how the Celtics ended the regulation. Brutal. They were up 14 points in the fourth quarter, and then it turns into Kemba dribble, 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 pass it to Tatum, heave. Like, with 4 seconds left on the shot clock, just heave. They had opportunities. I think it was even kind of like a weird foul call that allowed them to even tie it up. Think about it. They were trying to inbound the ball down one.
Yep.
So they could have lost in regulation if that was the play they came up with. But
Miami
they
had one foul to give there.
And they gave them sort of the gift free throw.
Mm-hmm.
And they tie it up. And now they have the ball 22 seconds. That's all, an entire possession. And that's what they came up with. So frustrating. So frustrating for them.
And we talked about this earlier. The question is whether you're heartened or disheartened by what you saw last night. Because, I mean, I really did think they had them where they wanted them. And I'm thinking, you know, it wasn't a great game for Kemba Walker at all.
Nope.
They didn't really use Jaylen Brown as much as they should have at all. And yet, you know, you got a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. You put this thing away. Here we go.
Yeah, and they kind of, this was a team that had a lot of really bad third quarters, even going back to the Philly series. And yet, that was a different story. They finished the third quarter really strong. It was a 13-2 run or something to end the third. And then, so they have that big lead early in the fourth. And you're like, all right. You know, they withstood a run by Miami because it was a great start, maybe a perfect start for the Celtics. They're hitting their shots, getting everybody involved. They have a nice lead. But then Miami came storming back. But the Celtics responded to that. So, yeah, you did start to think, all right, this one's over. They're going to take a 1-0 lead, but not so fast. And Miami, in a game in which Jimmy Butler was good but not great, and we've seen him be great in the playoffs. He was just good. Duncan Robinson was in foul trouble, only hit 2 threes. That guy's normally an assassin, so I think he's going to play a little bit better.
You sort of feel like you have to win that game.
Yeah.
Last night?
I thought, yeah, you have that one, and then you let it slip away, and you're like, this team, Miami is on fire. They swept the Pacers, then they beat the Bucks in five, with or without Giannis, who cares? They beat the Bucks in five. Their only loss this playoff run came in overtime to Milwaukee.
Yep.
So they are the best team in the bubble, right? Or they're playing the best right now. Again, I like the Celtics roster more than the Heat, but after last night's game, and really getting a chance to watch every single second of a Heat game, they're better than I thought.
Tell me how exactly, Dale, that a team is going to go 9-1 in their first 10 games, and now you're going to sell me on a bill of goods that the Celtics are going to force them to go 2-4, 1-4, or 0-4 over their next five or six. It's not going to happen because the Celtics are now, and this is insane to think this, and I'm sure that I'll get plenty of clap back for the hyperbole of making such a statement. You know what tomorrow night is? Must win.
Oh, here we go.
It is. Yeah. Oh, no, that's an MW. Is a good old M-dubber in game two right there,
right,
my friend.
There's no,
you lose that, and you have no confidence
there's no
in
home
Miami
court.
Will smell blood.
Right, there's no home court, so there's none of that. Like, oh, well, at least you come back.
I blame
and
Deuce Tatum. He distracted his dad.
He wasn't watching.
I blamed him. No, yeah, what's on the iPad?
Busy on the iPad.
It's on the iPad, Deuce. It's on the iPad.
He's watching season three of Ozark.
I hope not.
The ending shocked him just as much as you and me.
He's like, where's season four? It's like, it's not ready yet, Deuce. It's coming out momentarily. Kemba Walker has become a huge, huge story in this.
Problem.
He has been a disaster since the middle of the Toronto series. Kyle Lowry outplayed him. Mm-hmm. And in just one game, Goran Dragic has outplayed him. Dragic has been a better player in the entirety of the postseason than Kemba Walker. I think for the Celtics to win the series, Kemba doesn't even need to outplay Dragic. It just needs to be competitive.
Yes.
Like, you can't lose that matchup. Not necessarily that they're guarding each other all the time, but just the point guard matchup. You can't lose it so dramatically and expect to win.
Kemba Walker was 6-for-19 from the field, 1-for-9 from three. For those of you keeping score at home, that's 11.1%.
That's not good.
And post-game, he was asked about why he was missing shots.
Just playing terrible, to be honest. There's not much I can say, but I just have to be better, you know. I'm doing for this team on both ends of the floor. Got to make better decisions. Just got to make shots overall.
So, I mean, he always says the right thing. He's right. Not a guy. He's like Chris Sale in that regard. You're like, yeah, I don't really care. I expect you to say the right thing, but I need you to perform.
Right.
Kyrie Irving would have come up with a million different excuses for why he had a game like that. Kemba Walker, meanwhile, every time they lose, it's his fault. Every time they win, it's the teammates around him, even if he plays well. So you love that part of it, but he's got to figure it out on the court. He has to do it. That shot, and Fitz, you kind of dubbed it just the Kemba shot. We all know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's working. So he's doing that shot pretty effectively, but just about everything else, plus he's a bit of a liability defensively. He'll try to take a charge here and there, but overall he's small. No. And he doesn't match up well with anybody on Miami. So he needs to get it done on the offensive end, and he hasn't for a while now.
So Brad Stevens, who I thought also had kind of a tough night last night, was asked post-game about Kemba's rough night.
And they've got great athletes out there. Some of the guards are able to keep in front with their length, and then Bam was switching a ton of pick and rolls all day. Bam's a tremendous defender. So we're going to have to figure out, again, better ways to attack. You know, especially late. I thought we really moved it at times, and then we did get stagnant.
He was outcoached last night. He was outcoached, outclassed, outthought, outmaneuvered all the outs last night. Brad Stevens had a chance to design a couple of plays. I don't know if it's that he wanted to feel out the Heat, if he figured that his veterans could be trusted to come up with the plays on the court. But Eric Spoelstra, your former video assistant, who we all thought was nothing more than a puppet and proxy for Pat Riley when the Big Three descended upon South Beach but a decade ago, outcoached Brad Stevens. And this is more than the first time. This is the second, if not third time this postseason where we have significantly questioned Brad Stevens' end-of-game calls.
Right. You have to give the coaching advantage to Spoelstra right now.
Through one game.
All of us hated how the game ended, regulation ended, the play, quote-unquote. Ended up with a 27-foot fog shot for no apparent reason. Brad Stevens post-game was talking about the team's offense late in games.
I think obviously switching has something to do with it, but we need to handle it better. There's no question about it. Not only was there probably too much pounding of the ball, it was also not as much space the way that they were guarding. So we need to do a better job of that. We'll go back and look at different ways that we can attack better at the end of the game.
Yeah, Brian Robb from Boston Sports Journal had a great stat. Outside of an offensive rebound by Jaylen Brown, the last 2 minutes and 51 seconds of regulation, only Kemba and Tatum touched the ball on offense.
Wow.
And a lot of that wasn't even It's not like they were playing this great pick and roll or anything like that. It was just sort of stand a million feet away from the basket, pound the ball, then get the ball to Tatum with his back to the basket, and now make him create with less time. Like, you made it more difficult on yourself. It made no sense.
When Jaylen Brown especially was playing so well earlier in the game, and he's a bigger body, and he's probably going to be open because everyone is just watching Tatum and Kemba move around, stand there, pound the rock, eat the clock.
Even Smart had a pretty good offensive night, and I'm not saying that he needs to be the guy taking the final shot, but get him involved.
You're bigger. You don't have to go directly at Adebayo, because we saw at the end of overtime what happens when you do. But just move, set yourself up for a foul. Maybe kick it to somebody who's going to be open. Get somebody else involved. But for them to eat it for the final 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, Dale, I know earlier we were playing who's got a glass half full, who's got a glass half empty, and who's got no glass at all. Maybe if the Celtics can attack the rim in game two, maybe if they can use their size advantage, and maybe if Kemba does have a better night, maybe he had the yips last night, maybe just the idea of like, I'm in the conference finals, even though
he's had
no
the yips for a while now, though.
Yeah, he
Keith pointed out correctly, you go back to the Toronto series, and I mentioned earlier, he got tied up with Pascal Siakam, tweaked his knee on a play, and it really has been downhill ever since.
Yeah, but Dale, was that game one or game two? I kind of want to try to tie it emotionally to something, because if that was in game two, he still had the maneuverability or the health and latitude to make that incredible pass in game three when he scored, I believe, 29 points to Tice. He had a great game three.
He shot really well in that game.
I tell you, I think there was a confidence that was building, and now the lights have gotten bright, and we know what happens when the lights get bright, and Kemba is pushing and trying too hard.
Look at these game four on Kemba Walker from three. 1 for 6, 1 for 6, 1 for 6, 1 for 7, 1 for 9.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him. That's awful.
That's so bad. That's so bad.
He's shooting 15% from three.
Ben Simmons is like, wow, that's a lot of attempts.
How do you feel about Philadelphia?
So is this crazy? Is this just is this recency bias? Or maybe I'm just crazy here. Is the Heat actually a tougher matchup than the Milwaukee Bucks?
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of us thought that the, you know, Giannis being out kind of opens it up a little bit. However, before the series started, before the playoffs started, I thought they would beat the Bucks because I thought the Celtics matched up well with the Bucks. They don't shoot threes as well as the Miami Heat do. I also, as good as Giannis is, there's starting to be some question about, all right, well, what kind of closer is he? What kind of Kira Sedgwick, if you will, is Giannis?
Wow.
Is Giannis better player than Butler, but late in a game, would you rather Butler get you that bucket or Giannis?
Oh, I would rather. If I'm coaching Milwaukee, I give Middleton the final shot.
Okay, so that answers the question. Right, yes. Exactly. So again, I'm not trying to tell you Giannis isn't good because he's great. But you heard, was it Kendrick Perkins or somebody said that maybe he's a Scottie Pippen or whatever. Jimmy Butler is an alpha. So you're going up against a legit number one player. Bam Adebayo.
Well, I expect to be better tomorrow night than he was last night.
And you know what? You're probably right. Bam Adebayo is an all-star big man and a great defensive player. Goran Dragic is an all-star caliber point guard. And then everybody else can just rain threes. Duncan Robinson, who wasn't good last night. Tyler Hero, who was good. Jay Crowder, good defensively. And, you know, unfortunately, you got to run out there. He's knocking down threes now. Team, it's just, they're just built really well, and I hate giving Pat Riley credit because I think he can be obnoxious, but he built this team really, really well. It was like Butler was the missing piece from last year's roster. They got him. He's also drafted well. You got to give him credit there. Hero and Bam are both late bottom of the lottery picks. Those aren't top three or four picks.
Yep.
They had two guys on the all-rookie team this year. Like they've done a nice job on that team.
Yeah, and I told you, I thought the to me, like we if we're going to look at a turning point shot, or if we're going to look at a play, if it just went the other way, you know, obviously Tatum could have done better. Obviously, maybe he could have put Smart on Butler. If you know, ifs, buts, would all have a Merry Christmas. If you put somebody on Harrow, it's 105, 100, a minute and 10 seconds left. If you can just get a body on him or don't allow him to take an uncontested 29-footer from the top of the key, which he just drained, which was just an absolute
It felt exactly
butter.
Like the Norman Powell shot where you had something going for the Celtics, and then all of a sudden you just... You're feeling good about a big shot on your end, and then you come down, and you're like, wait, how's he open?
You get that. It's 105-100 with a minute and seven left. It goes to Jaylen Brown. Kemba takes the ball up court. Even if you don't make a shot, it's only 40 seconds left with 105-100. That right there, to me, was the inexcusable play that turned the tables at the end of regulation.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. All right, I've got a couple of things. this Miami team, I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, don't get me wrong, but this Miami team, they just keep coming at you and coming at you. And you usually don't see something like this in basketball. You know, usually in the playoffs, you know, you'll see a team get hot in baseball that really isn't as good as everybody else. But when they get hot, they can win it. Sometimes in hockey, the same thing. So I think the Heat, it just almost seems like they might be on some type of destiny the way they're playing, because they just seem to be playing way over the head. And then let me just say this. Don't worry about the Celtics. There's six more games they got to straighten out this series. Poor Doc Rivers. This poor guy. He's blown three to one leads in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's just unheard of. And I know Doc. I met Doc when he was down in Orlando. And he's a good guy, a really decent guy. And there's something to be said about people that blow 3-1 leads. There's got to be something to it. There's too much talent on that Clipper team to blow that lead the way they did.
Yeah, he's an overrated coach. He's a great guy. Everybody loves him as a guy. He's a wildly overrated coach. Simple as that.
We'll talk more about Doc in a few minutes because...
Yeah, we'll get to him.
We've got some numbers to back up your contention,
by the way. His first point about the series isn't over. You're right. It's one game, and the Celtics had stretches there. The way they started the game, the way they ended the third quarter, the series definitely isn't over. I'm looking at Miami, and it just seems like a really well-constructed team that everybody kind of knows their role. Like, remember last year with the Celtics? That was their biggest issue. They had a lot of talent, but the roles were all off. Like, nobody knew. Like, everybody wanted to get a bigger slice of the pie.
Yeah, it's because the guy on the top, though, was sending the wrong message 100%. And wasn't demonstrating any leadership. I thought that's part of what we brought Kemba in for.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Todd's in Springfield. Hey, Todd.
Hey. Hey. So, guys, why do I feel like William Wallace at the Battle of Sterling yelling, hold, hold, every time I see Kemba dribbling that clock down in the last three games? You know, it's just a situation where I think, you know, either something's up with his knee or whatever, his shot's just not there. He's got to stick to the mid-range jumper. Those seem to be falling. And,
this
waiting game is, you know, killing us at the end of these games. And they really need to rely on the younger guys, Tatum, Brown, and Smart, to just keep attacking during that time. You know, if we're driving in for twos, you know, some of the layups are going to fall, some of the fouls are going to fall, and we're not sitting here waiting for those, you know, four-second shots like you guys were pointing out.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. It's pretty maddening the way they're finishing games. But even for Kemba, just as an offensive standpoint, it's the entire game. And he'll hit it enough shots where you're like, all right, he can't be injured. And Brad's playing him such huge minutes, and at times he can look pretty good. Like, for flashes, he looks pretty good. So I'm not even going to give him the excuse of that. Like, he's out there, he's playing. And the one kind of thing maybe as a Celtics fan you can also hold out hope for is maybe you get Gordon Hayward back, and maybe he can give you 20 minutes a night and just sort of give you something else. The Heat are a little bit of a deeper team, and obviously starters play such huge minutes anyway in the playoffs. It's not always the biggest deal, but just if you can get a few good minutes from Gordon Hayward rather than having to trot out Semi Ojeleye or Grant Williams or whatever, then maybe that could be a difference too.
But to Todd's reference, though, Dale, he brings up the Braveheart thing, and he says, you know, why do I feel like Kemba's William Wallace saying, hold, hold? In that particular scene, though, that's why the reference doesn't quite make sense, because in that scene, they knew what they were the British were going to do, and they knew how to counterattack. The Celtics have not shown us that they know what Miami is necessarily going to do, nor do they have their counterattack prepared. So, yeah, there's a lot of hold, but there's no particular, like, there's not like, oh, we know what you're going to do, come at us, and then we've got a set play for it. In fact, all they did was hold and heave.
Hold,
so it was, yeah,
hold.
just there was far too much hold last night. And Miami's not, Rich, I know, like you said, starters play in the playoffs. They're nine deep. There's nine guys who could go off for double digits like that.
Well, that's just it. They get contributions from other guys, you know, like whether it's Iguodala for a shot or Kendrick Nunn for a shot. And then, you know, Duncan Robinson barely played because he was in foul trouble the whole time. So Tyler Hero comes off the bench. He plays 40 minutes, almost puts up a triple-double. So they have a bunch of guys who can contribute.
My friend Tanya, who used to work here at Comcast, works at FS1 out in L.A. right now. Big Celtics fan, as I was on Twitter following as the game was going on. She had two tweets. One said, it's so cool how the Celtics are always clearly the better team right up until the last 1 minute of a game. And there is a feeling of that. And she also tweeted out, does Brad Stevens know there are four quarters in a normal NBA game? Because I'm starting to think he thinks this is hockey. It's like, well, we did a hell of a job through three, fellas. Our job here is done, because their fourth quarters, they're pissing these leads away.
Well, the third quarter was their issue before.
Like, well, last night it was good.
No, I know last night it was.
So they actually swapped quarters.
So yeah, they did. The fourth quarter then just kind of like just slipped it away.
You can't have a 12-point lead going 14. Into the fourth. Oh, it was 14?
They scored the first bucket.
Oh, so they were up 14 with 11 and a half minutes left.
Yeah, correct.
You can't lose.
You absolutely can't. So the Heat got to feel great. You know, they got to feel so good about it, because they had the longer layoff, if you want to say, or they're trying to kill time in the bubble, and you could probably get distracted or like lose, you know, but they got down early, came fighting back, got lost to the lead again, came storming back. And I think we all agree Jimmy Butler could go for 30 next game.
Yeah.
You know, Robinson could stay out of foul trouble and, you know, knock down five threes or something like that. They're a dangerous team. You
think How big a difference could a rusty Gordon Hayward make if he were able to play tomorrow night?
I'll take a rusty Hayward over a lot of any other options. Anytime.
I mean, think about it. You got 10 minutes out of Ogilvy, 10 minutes out of Grant Williams, 11 minutes out of Time Lord, who, as much as I liked in the earlier series, this ain't it.
Uh-uh.
You know, there's no slow like Joel Embiid or Marc Gasol out there. So Time Lord isn't going to be your answer. And the way Kemba's going, put the ball in Hayward's hand to start the offense and set it up that way. He's a good passer. And there are certain nights where he kind of catches fire. And I know that's a lot to ask after missing 3 or 4 weeks. But, yeah, give me any Gordon Hayward and see what you got out of him.
That'll be an interesting follow today. I don't know if they'll practice today or – if they'll take the day off. But at some point today or tomorrow, we'll get word from Brad Stevens about the possibility. And all of us are going to think, oh, boy, this could be all the difference. There was a coach who actually had a worse night than Brad Stevens had last night. He's an old friend, and, you know, we hate to do this, but his numbers aren't very good when his team faces playoff elimination. We'll talk about Doc Rivers and the LA Clippers being sent unceremoniously home, and they don't seem to be bothered by it all that much, which is a little weird for me as well. Tommy Curran will join us at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
We didn't meet him. That's the bottom line. I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it. But we didn't meet our expectations, clearly. Because we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing. I just wasn't. You know, I just knew conditioning-wise, like, We had guys that just couldn't play minutes. That's hard. I mean, there's two or three times a night, but we actually started getting it going and a guy had to come out. I mean, it is what it is. So, no, I was never comfortable. I can tell you that up front. I told our coaches that.
That was Doc Rivers after the L.A. Clippers lost last night. Now, in a perfect world, you had your druthers, no contracts, no nothing. Would you rather have Doc Rivers coaching the Celtics or Brad Stevens?
Brad Stevens. And I don't even love Brad Stevens.
And I'm with you.
Like, I've had some issues with Brad Stevens over the course of this playoff run, but Doc Rivers is so overrated, it hurts. If you tell me that Kevin Garnett, in a year in which he's the defensive player of the year, and Paul Pierce still in his prime, and Ray Allen and Rondo are all on the team, then, all right, maybe you'll take Doc. But that was the only time that he was able to get the most ever out of a team.
When he had an elite team with one of the greatest big threes of all time.
It's the only time. And you could even argue they should have won more.
They absolutely should have won.
They should have probably won too.
Somebody on Twitter posted this list. Since the 2011-12 season, the Clippers have had CP3, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and have not been able to make the Western Conference Finals.
Brad Stevens is obviously in an easier conference, but he has made the Conference Finals 3 times in 7 years in what was supposed to be a rebuild and one that Doc didn't want to be a part of. Doc could have been here. Danny Ainge didn't fire him. They didn't do anything. He wanted out because he didn't have the stomach for a rebuild. The Celtics and Clippers have made the playoffs the same number of years in those last 7, and the Clippers have never made it to the Conference Finals. That is amazing. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan were all NBA players playing together.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Kawhi Leonard, who I think is the best player in the world, mm-hmm. with Paul George, who was an all-NBA first teamer a year ago.
And a choke artist.
And a massive choke artist.
And a gangster supreme.
The two best bench players in the league, in Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. They traded a first-round pick for Marcus Morris. They traded three first-round picks for Paul George and the ability to swap two more. They emptied the bag for this run, and they can't even make the conference finals. You had a 3-1 lead over the Nuggets and even a big lead in Game 7. A huge lead in Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
Big lead in Game 5.
Yep. Let me back you up here in this regard. Since 2003, Doc Rivers' teams have blown a 3-1 lead, a 3-2 lead, a 3-2 lead, 3-2 lead, 3-1 lead, a 2-0 lead, and last night blew a 3-1 series lead for the third time.
It's very impressive, actually, if you think about it.
In his career,
hard to do.
When his team has a chance to clinch a series win, his winning percentage is .341.
People think he's a good coach because he's a nice guy and he has one ring.
Uh-huh.
That's all it comes down to.
Gifted via he owes as much to Danny Ainge and Kevin McHale for that ring as he does anything else.
He would have gotten fired if it wasn't for that trade, the trades that Danny Ainge made. And then his whole crap when he leaves, he's like, oh, I bleed green. Didn't want to do the rebuild. Went to a team with established stars and won nothing. Mm-hmm. He went second round exit, first round exit, missed the playoffs. First round exit, and then this year, second round exit.
Yeah, and if you look at
for
the Clippers,
talent, that is amazing.
Oh, it's remarkable. And if you look at the Clippers in Game Sevens, it's just Ella. It's just it's the refrain to a freaking Rihanna song. They don't know how to win Game Sevens. They don't. Not making it to the conference finals. If you told me that you were going to take the best player in the world and pair him up with a top 10 talent with Doc Rivers and the bench that they have and make those trades, I would have bet Shime could have emptied the whole bag. We would have spent all of the units on, punch the ticket right now. The battle for Los Angeles is the conference finals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they lost to Denver.
They needed to win this year or next year because the way things are set up for them, Dale, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both have player options after next season.
Mm-hmm.
So next season could be their last there. Marcus Morris, who they traded first-round pick for, is a free agent. Montrezl Harrell was playing on a bargain deal, and it's going to make a ton of money, and it's probably not going to be there. Lou Williams only has 1 year left on his deal. Because of all these trades, they don't have a lot of great young players, which, again, isn't the problem if you're winning.
Right.
Like, you'll sacrifice that to win now, but they're not even really set up for the future as much as maybe some people thought they were.
I'm not a huge fan of the cancel culture, but if I was Stephen Ballmer, and post-game I heard Doc Rivers say that conditioning-wise, his players weren't ready, that you know, he had guys who had to ask out of games, and people talked about the Game 7 loss last night and said, God, guys would go 2 minutes, and then they'd be begging out. Who's in charge of that?
Yeah.
Isn't the head coach? Now, I'm not taking responsibility
some of these guys
away
are pros,
from the players.
Right?
Yes.
one would hope,
getting paid a lot of money,
right.
Okay. But you're the coach.
Yep.
Make sure they're ready.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's something to be said, too. Like, Kawhi didn't have a great Game 7. There's a lot, like, last year...
No, he did not.
No, he didn't.
In a brutal second half.
Don't forget, last year, he punched his way to the finals with an epic Game 7 with one of the craziest shots.
Monster shot.
Paul
George was useless.
But that's what Paul George always is in closeout games. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have the stomach for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Yeah,
all right, so Fitzy, you didn't answer yet. Would you take Doc Rivers back as the Celtics coach?
Probably.
That's insane.
What has Brad Stevens done to make me want
Brad
Stevens?
He's gotten you to the conference finals.
I think he
has. That's more than Doc does.
And we'll see what happens this year. He could have an exit where he had a more talented team, but he's never had. When he's lost to a better team.
Yes.
Doc Rivers, that's not always the case. No. Doc Rivers' team is loaded.
Leans on a start lid, but last night he could not find a way to rally his troops and get enough out of this very talented and expensive supporting cast who all looked to Kawhi. And when Kawhi was gassed and not having a great game, nobody else could step up. And yet you have a number two. Paul George is the top 10 talent.
Oh, yeah.
But yet they went and got him. He thrives on nights when Kawhi can thrive. When Kawhi's off, you can't just look
PG-13.
PG-13.
Sorry. I heard Wiggy say that he would rather have Doc Rivers back, and I drove off the road, and I have to get my car repaired after the show. Okay. Because
but I think Wiggy really, really dislikes Brad Stevens
a lot. I think he does, too. Mm-hmm. But if you want to say, but it's not like Brad Stevens and Doc Rivers are the second and third best coaches in the NBA.
No, I think
we're looking at Eric Spoelstra is better. You can go up and down the list. There are probably guys that you would rather have right now in the NBA than either of those guys. Mm-hmm. But Doc Rivers, to me, I think the The original thought when he left Boston was, you know what? You'd actually only want him if your team was loaded with talent. Well, guess what? He spent the last 7 years with a team that has been loaded with talent and hasn't even... Brad Stevens just lost a game in a round in which Doc has never made with the Clippers. Like, that
fair
is
point.
Jarring.
And with lesser talent, because I think we can argue that as much as we love Tatum and the ghost of Kemba and Jaylen Brown, they aren't the players Kawhi and Paul George.
The fact that they have the same number of playoff appearances, and when you look at what Brad was left with, because Doc's gone, that means Pierce and Garnett are gone. Mm-hmm. Rondo did play for Stevens, but then they eventually traded him away, mm-hmm. and it was nothing left. It was just... And then Danny Ainge, in an attempt to rebuild this team, was giving him new guys seemingly every year.
Right.
Like, now it's an Isaiah team. Now it's a Kyrie team. All right. Well, now it's a Walker team. Like, he's gotten new guys all the time.
Sure.
And for the most part,
he's restocked the pantry.
He has. Yeah. No. He has done a nice job. I mean, coaching wise, I don't even know what like is. I don't want Doc for a rebuild because you saw, you know, when he was in Orlando, he ended up getting blown out of Orlando. They didn't have the right team. We saw him the year before they got. They went into the draft and made those trades here. He had some terrible records with the Celtics. He was about to get pushed out the door here until all those trades. People just like him. He's a likable guy. He's not a great coach.
Doesn't it almost feel like the Clippers job has become like the Cincinnati Bengals head coaching job where you could have it forever. You got it. You'd have it. They weren't going to fire you. They were going to let you keep going on. If Doc was the coach of the Celtics and over this 7-8 year period, had the names I just gave you and never got to a conference final, do you think Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck would be keeping them?
No, not with the talent that you have. I think it's inexcusable. And then when you also get into, he's been a big part of some of the moves that they have made over the years. And you can go back, and there are just some terrible ones. Like, I forget what they gave up to get Jared Dudley a while ago. Like, there were certain ones. There were players that Doc fell in love with. Then the money that they were giving, like, throwing around to DeAndre Jordan. And they haven't really spent very wisely. And in 5 or 6 years, the Clippers are going to be back to what the Clippers had been because they're not going to have any draft picks. They are going to be it's going to be like the Brooklyn Nets. When the Brooklyn Nets, now they've surprisingly kind of turned it around quicker than I thought after how bad those trades were. But you're going to look at it where the Clippers in a few years are going to have like a 25-win season, and you're going to say, well, at least we have our pick. You're like, oh, no, that actually is going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
and it's going to happen multiple years.
They will 5 years tops, actually, I think even. They'll probably return to what they were. And you know what? Doc will opt out of there, and he's not going to want to stick around for that rebuild either.
You're 100%.
I missed that part of the Greg Hill show this morning. So did Wiggy have a reason
why
he'd rather have Doc than Brad Stevens? Did he, you know, I like his substitutions. I like his minute. Was there something?
I think it's just because he likes everybody more than Brad Stevens. Mm-hmm. And he would probably just say, right, well, so he won a title with Doc.
Why not get Mike D'Antoni in here then? He's available now.
he's opted out.
Yeah,
right?
You would.
He's a free agent now, correct?
No.
Yeah. I mean, he's available. No. I mean, unlike Doc, he's actually available. Did Wiggy say that he wanted Mike D'Antoni in here?
No.
I don't know. I think he wants Doc Rivers.
Yep. He's got a thing for Doc Rivers.
I'm like, based off of what? In the 7 years there, he's probably been the most disappointing. Given the most and won the least.
The Clippers is actually a much bigger failure than the Celtics blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter in game one of the conference finals is kind of a failure.
No, they had monster leads, I believe,
multiple times
in games 5, 6, and 7, like all three closeout games.
In game 6, didn't they have a 19-point lead?
Yes.
And they had a big lead last night too.
Yes.
Yes. And just squandered it. And then ended up getting, they didn't just lose.
No.
They got smoked.
Oh, they got smoked. Smoked.
I mean, the good news is it wasn't a game 7 last night for the Celtics where, you know, we'd be much more upset. It was game 1. Doc Rivers' team was game 7.
Yeah,
and he had players who were gassed and who couldn't go. And
I just think it's amazing where obviously the goal every year for those teams, for those top players, is winning the whole thing. But you say, all right, you know what? He was in the West. The Golden State Warriors ran it for a little while. You know, the Lakers are there now. Like, there's some really, okay, we're not even, the goal for Doc, or I think the bar, wasn't even winning a title or getting to the finals even. They were never even the second best team in the West with all that talent, including this year where you had the best player in the world. You had two top 5 to 10 players in the league. Mm-hmm. Paul George had more than 10.
Two of them.
Two.
They were built to be able to combat and actually be able to do the things that LeBron and AD couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So this, they specifically built their team to go up against the Lakers and run it back and hopefully get Kawhi to the finals. And what they forgot to do was beat the rest of the teams on the way to getting there. There's the Nuggets are a fun story, and we're literally watching one of the better centers in the last 20 years. Your center is not supposed to average a triple-double in the playoffs, but we're
he's watching
a great story.
Jokic is great. Oh, and Jamal Murray's turning into he's flying up the leaderboard for like
an absolute mad bomber.
Yeah.
Kid's great. They're a lot. They've turned out to be a really fun team to watch. But they had no business winning that series.
Is LeBron happy or upset?
I think he thinks he's happy. He may be upset.
Yeah, I think the NBA is upset.
Oh, they wanted an all LA.
Oh.
Desperately yes. Want Lakers Clippers and then Lakers Celtics, and you might be staring at Nuggets Heat.
Oh.
Heat Nuggets. Oh. Time now for Heat Nuggets.
How about some Heat Nuggets?
Shine loves those.
Nuggets
with a little bit of heat, just a little bit of heat.
Microwave.
You get those from Wendy's or where do you get your Heat Nuggets?
What do you slop on there? Blue cheese? Ranch?
I'm more of a ranch guy, generally.
All right.
Do you really?
No problem with that.
Well, I love ranch.
Shut up, Meg.
That's John's music.
So, Sean can play sound now.
Ranch, where does ranch come from? It's not an actual
farm.
It's a tree.
The center of the earth.
It's a plant. It's a ranch plant.
Hidden Valley. Like
a ranch
so
comet
I
hit
don't
earth
understand
years
it.
Ago.
Yeah. The first ingredient
what
is
happens,
MSG.
What happens, is when a man and a woman are in love.
Next thing you know, you got little ranches.
Old McDonald.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like blue cheese as well, by the way.
I bet.
What's wrong with blue cheese?
Would have been an upset if you didn't.
Nothing's wrong with it.
But everything for a ranch?
No, I'm more of a blue cheese over ranch, but if all you got is ranch, I'll slop down the ranch.
We're okay.
No problem.
So as hard as we were on Doc Rivers, there's somebody else who was a little harder. We'll hear from Perk in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
You know, we did have championship expectations. We had the talent to do it. I don't think we had the chemistry to do it in this show. You know, we had lapses on defense and on offense where, you know, I think guys have played in systems where they were expecting guys to be in certain spots offensively. A lot of different guys made adjustments. And so, you know, it showed.
So Lou Will said they had the talent. They just didn't have the chemistry. So evidently, chemistry is more important than biology for Lou Will, huh?
Well, we learned that with the Celtics last year, and it felt like I just thought the talent was so overwhelming that Kawhi Leonard had more to work with this year than he did last year in Toronto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although we found out, I mean, that Toronto team's still pretty good without
there's some gamers
Kawhi.
Up there.
There's some tough guys, maybe tougher, more mentally tough guys on Toronto than with L.A. And I know a lot of people, a lot of the NBA experts were saying, you know, as it turns out, Kawhi Leonard probably had a better chance of winning the title if he stayed in Toronto.
How about that?
Which I didn't think at all. As soon as he joined up with, or they Paul George forced his way out of Oklahoma City and they pulled off that whole coup. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it like, oh, this team's loaded. Well, turns out, not good enough.
14 points, 6-6 last night in 43 minutes for Kawhi. That's just, you can't lean on him to do absolutely everything. And there was no, like I said, you look to Paul George, and he's like, don't look at me. This isn't what I do. I'm only good when he's good.
Right.
And then the rest of the team, they played fine. But Marcus Morris, 26 minutes, 7 points. That's probably what he's going to do. A first-round pick for Marcus Morris?
Yeah, pretty crazy. And then you consider a guy like Montrezl Harrell, who I think averaged like 19 points a game off the bench in the regular season. He averaged 10. Mm-hmm. You know, Lou Williams was another dynamic scorer in the regular season. He was useless. Talking about for the whole playoffs, not just in the round against the Nuggets. So they were a huge letdown. One of the bigger disappointments we've seen. And like, it's still the Clippers. And the Clippers as a franchise stinks. But if you just look at the individual players, this should have been a year where, at the very least, like if they lose to the Lakers, I guess not a failure of a season because it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. But you can't. The Nuggets are a fun young team, but like you can't lose to the Nuggets if you're the Clippers.
Look at the box score for Game 6, Dale. They're up a pretty good amount at the
19?
Half.
Or no, yeah. I don't know about the half, but they were up 19 at one point.
Oh, actually, no, they're up at the half. They are up 63-45. They're up 18 at halftime. In the second half, the Los Angeles Wet Fart puts up 35 points, and the Nuggets rattled off 64 points.
Yeah, good
which
defense
means they're
by the Clippers.
And you've got Lou Williams, you've got some of the, and Kawhi Leonard, you've got two of the best defenders in the NBA.
No, Beverly.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Williams.
Yeah, Beverly.
No, so how's this happen?
So Lou Will told us they had the biology, but they didn't have the chemistry.
Uh-huh.
Friend of the show, Kendrick Perkins, couldn't wait to respond to Lou Will.
I don't want to hear that from Lou Will also, because even after that, in the bubble, he was sitting up there talking about trademarking some lemon pepper wings. I don't like lemon pepper wings anyway. I prefer honey barbecue. But at the end of the day, when you're on a contender team, your mindset shouldn't be on trademarking wings. Your mindset should be on giving production off the bench, which he didn't do in this series. If you look at it, they picked on Lou Williams. The Denver Nuggets did on the defensive end. They called him up and wanted him in the switch on every matchup, and they attacked him all series long. That has nothing to do with chemistry. That has everything to do with heart and holding your ground. Because I tell you one thing, Greeny and Legs, they're not going to pick on Big Perk like that every single play and think I'm the weak link on the defensive end. So that's what they did to Lou Will. So I don't want to hear that excuse.
Lemon pepper aroma.
It's like Shime with a sports take, having a mix and a little food take in there as well. A little quick detour and a little food.
I like his honey barbecue wings.
I also like the fact that it sounds like Perk is almost always out of breath.
Yeah, like he's just talking his way up to a certain state.
Yeah, he's upset. He's passionate about the subject.
It's not a frenzy or a lather, but it definitely has
worked
some intense.
Up.
Yeah, he's worked up. Exactly.
He's perked up. At least he's
perked up.
Perked up.
If you think he was worked up for that one,
yes.
Will you hear how worked up he gets when he's talking about the Clippers in this one?
They're the biggest front runners in NBA history. When everything is going well, Greeny, you hear them hooping and hollering and pounding their chests at their children and wives that are in the stands and the virtual fans. But when things get close, oh man, you could smell it. You could see it. They heart start pumping Kool-Aid. And I'm looking at this Clipper team, man, they couldn't guard a senior citizen at recess in a nursing home. They were horrible on the defensive end. The Denver Nuggets flat out outplayed them. They had the ultimate confidence, and this is one of the greatest upsets in NBA history. There's no way around it. I don't want to hear nothing about chemistry problems. I don't want to hear none of that. This team was built to win a championship, and everybody except for you and I, Greeny, was talking about, oh, the Clippers got these dogs. But guess what? They do a lot of barking, no biting. Jamal Murray and Big Jokic, they went over the fence and got their ball. They figured the dog was friendly. They started petting the dog. The dog started wagging his tail, and they walked straight out of the front door with their ball and took the dog home with them. And on their way out, the Clippers had a sweet potato pie and a bottle of water to give them on their way out the front door. So I don't want to hear nothing about chemistry problems.
For the win.
Why does this man not have his own show?
Who's this writer?
He needs no sidekick, nothing. He just gets to go.
What was that?
Can you replay the last 15 seconds of that again,
what
John?
What journey did he just take us on?
They started petting the dog. The dog started wagging his tail, and they walked straight out of the front door with their ball and took the dog home with them. And on their way out, the Clippers had a sweet potato pie and a bottle of water to give them on their way out the front door. So I don't want to hear nothing about chemistry problems.
Nothing better than a bottle of water and a sweet potato pie.
And a new dog.
Oh my
you got your
God.
Ball, you got your dog.
Oh
and
my
what was
God.
It about senior citizens having a recess? Is that even a
they
thing?
They would beat them in a pick. They couldn't guard senior citizens in a pickup game at a nursing home.
Recess.
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 Man, they couldn't guard a senior citizen at recess in a nursing home.
I don't know if
that's he's the says, best.
That is incredible, but he's driving the point home.
Heart's pumping Kool-Aid.
There, what is that?
I don't know.
Juicy.
Okay, fine. Love it. Basically, that's the best way to tear down the Clippers right there. And that's his guy, too, coaching them. That's Perk's guy, Doc.
How do the Clippers come back from that? Not losing that lead, but that absolute beatdown they just took from Perk.
I think
right
you
there.
Have to disband the franchise.
I would.
I don't think you could show your face again. After
Stephen Ballmer's got to sell today.
I think he's got to sell the team or move the team to Seattle.
Or someplace. Just get them the hell out of L.A. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us next. His regular weekly visit. We'll talk about the Patriots and their trip to Seattle this weekend. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.